Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yo, what's going on, Winning Shot family, man? We are back with another episode, man. We are in the playoff season for the NBA, so we wanted to bring you guys a special podcast where we're just strictly talking all NBA business. This season has been one for the books, man, not just because of what happened on the court, but mainly about what happened off the court. We had some blockbuster trades happen throughout the season. If you go watch some of our previous podcasts, we kind of hit it on the big Luka Doncic trade to the Mavericks, to the Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis. But throughout the season, man, we've seen some key storylines, right? We've seen the Boston Celtics continue to do what they do and win. We've had some sleepers like the Detroit Pistons, who went from, you know, being a terrible team to being a playoff team, getting ready to play the Knicks. And just some important storylines, even like the 76ers, who we expected to be contenders, who are actually kind of frauds, right? We have a lot of players out on the 76ers, and we're going to talk about their future. But Hundo, man, how are you feeling about this NBA playoff season and getting ready for the playoffs?
I'm excited, man, especially in the West. West kind of like wide open for real. So like I'm really excited to see who can come out of the West, who can make it out the West. But when you look at the top, really, like OKC and Cleveland, like did anybody really expect that from either one of these teams? Two small market teams leading the league.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see what they can do in the playoffs, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think like when we look at this season, like it's been different, right? Because everybody talks about the teams that are tanking at the bottom and, you know, the usual people are at the top. But I feel like this has been an interesting season. Like when I went back and looked at a couple of the games, looked at the stats, man, there have been some notable players that I was like, that have really surprised me. I know we kind of talked offline about Zach Edey, but I feel like there's a lot of key players that have stood out and had great seasons. Who do you think of some of those players, man?
I think when you look at the top, definitely SGA. He's been hooping, man, scoring the ball from all three levels. I think, man, when you talking about MVP, you talking about all NBA, like he's definitely in that conversation. He's definitely probably the front runner for MVP. If I had a vote, best record in the league, man. So I mean, you can't overlook SGA. Jokic, another great year, historic numbers again, Mr. Triple Double himself. So those are probably the two that stand out the most to me. And then, you know, look, surprises. I'm a big fan of James Harden game, man. He's revitalized his career. True point guard. Can score still at a high level, leading that Clippers team. We gonna see what they can do, man. We gonna see what they can do.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I agree with you. Like, I gotta shout out Jokic, man. That 61, 10, and 11 game he had a couple of months ago, I had never seen that before. And obviously, you know, they've had some, you know, difficulties towards the end of the season, but he has still been dominant. I feel like every month of this year, he has been in MVP contention and been top of the league discussion. So him and SGA, of course. But I mean, I think a lot of these players that we consider like fringe three or fours have actually stood out, like a Dyson Daniels in Atlanta, who's averaging three steals, which is crazy to think about. Man, there's been games he's had six steals, five steals, and like he got the if he can develop a jump shot, like he would be a force. And, you know, obviously the Thompson twins, like one is in Houston, one is in with the Pistons. But I think Amen is with Houston, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a problem, man. He, if he develops an offensive game, man, Houston is going to be in some trouble. Houston is going to like give a lot of teams some trouble. So those are like my two sleepers, and SGA, of course, and Jokic. So like let's segue. Who has been some players that have been disappointing? Who we had high expectations at the beginning of the season, and it's like, all right, this is not it.
Are we looking at individual numbers, or are we looking at team success?
I think a mixture of both, honestly.
So when I look at team success, I'm gonna look at team. I'm gonna look at it from a team perspective, right? And I just talked about the West being tough, right? I'm gonna go with Memphis. You got Bane, you got Jaren Jackson, you got Ja. Y'all should be better than that, man. And I know it's close. I know a few games could have went either way, and they possibly could have been second with six games. You get what I'm saying? So it's close, but I'm gonna definitely go Memphis and Minnesota too. Minnesota too. Like Minnesota was Western Conference Finals. You make that trade for Cat and Julius Randle that necessarily hasn't looked the best for y'all. I mean, Cat's been hooping with New York. But when you look at that trade, it's just like, dog, like, was that really the right move to make? Especially after he was made a deep run in the Western Conference last year? Like, I don't know. I don't know. So those are the two that I'm definitely looking at for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think disappointing for me, you weren't going to say it, so I guess I will. It has been the Knicks because, you know, when we came into the season, everybody was talking about, oh, the Villanova crew, and then adding Cat to the team. Like those first couple games when Cat was eating, everybody was like, okay, this is a championship contender. But when we look at their record versus great teams and contenders, it has not been as well. And, you know, it's going to be interesting, especially with this playoff run, because what Tibbs has the tendency to do is, you know, play his players, you know, these large amount of minutes and they start breaking down in the playoffs. And, you know, I think y'all have a lot of good pieces, right? Brunson, OG, Mitchell Robinson, Cat, and even adding Mikal Bridges. Like, these are guys who have been great twos on other teams, but it's like, okay, now who's the one headed into the playoffs? And do y'all have a team that can advance to the NBA finals, right? Or y'all just got good players? So that kind of disappointed me, man, because I think when the Knicks are good, man, basketball is good. It's always one thing to go in Madison Square Garden. You can even feel the energy through the television. And I guess my second team, honestly, and we'll see how the playoffs goes, but the Nuggets, and specifically with Jamal Murray, it seems like, you know, I was going in with expectations that it was going to be like the Thunder Nugget series, right? In the conference finals to, you know, make it to the NBA finals. And although Jokic has been eating, it's like, who else is going to step up? And I know Murray has been battling injuries throughout the season, but it's like, you know, even when he was on the court, man, they sucked defensively. And it's like, you know, Malone has been known for his defensive intensity, but that was not evident on the court. And obviously we know, you know, with him getting fired, they probably had some internal strife with that as well. I'm interested to see what the playoff run will look like. And the Jokic can really put these dudes on his back.
And I'll add too, going back to the Eastern Conference, like I think I'll speak on the Knicks part first. Right. So
yeah,
I didn't think they were the second best team in the East coming into the season, right? Like a lot of people were saying, oh, Knicks going to finish second in the East behind Boston or whatever. Just like, I don't see that. And like you said, Cat was balling when we first got him. Brunson, I feel like Brunson has struggled throughout the season of figuring out how to play with everybody. Like, yeah. I think when we got everybody, like that was my main concern. It's like, he's still playing like the player from last year that didn't really have much help. And it's just like, yo, you have OG, you have Mikal, you got Josh Hart playing a bigger role this year. You got Cat now. So it's like, yo, you don't have to do it by yourself. You can let these guys have a breakout game and you can kind of take the back seat. I think they have struggled throughout the whole season of trying to figure out that balance of, okay, let's let these guys go and get off. Jalen, okay, take over. We need you to take over. I think they've struggled with that dynamic a little bit. And then you look at the bench. It's not really much bench production. Like you said, Tibbs plays a lot of the starters. And granted, our starters can go. Like, Mikal hasn't missed a game in years, ever. Like, those guys can play high minutes. But it's like, when it comes down to winning a championship, you need pieces. You need everybody to contribute. So it's like, where is that bench production going to come? Is it going to come from Deuce? We need consistency, Deuce. We need consistency. You can't have 10, 15 points one game and then show up and you got 2 points the next game. Like, we need some type of consistency coming off the bench. So I think that's the Knicks' problem. Like, I don't see them coming out the East. Not even going to lie to you. Until they figure that out and figure out how to play with one another and get somebody off the bench. But then also a disappointment in the East too, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Milwaukee. Yeah. Nobody expected them to be fifth. Not with Dame coming back, not with Giannis. I mean, you missed Bobby Portis, of course. He missed some significant games. And he'll probably be back in the postseason. So hopefully that helps. But then you trade away Middleton for Kuzma. It's just like, yo, like, they got to be better. They got to figure out something too in the postseason. And, you know, Dame just got cleared yesterday. So that's a good sign for them. Hopefully he can come back and contribute something meaningful to help them in a playoff push. But we're going to see, man.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you a question about the Pelicans. Like, do we consider them a disappointment? Because, I mean, they were in the playoffs 2 years ago, I believe. And obviously, we know all the off-the-court stuff that's happening with Zion. But, you know, Zion has been the lightest he's ever been in his playing career. I think he's like 265. And when he was on the court, like, he was averaging like 25. Like, he was actually producing. And obviously, at the beginning of the season, we see that, you know, the Pelicans made the move to trade Brandon Ingram to the Toronto Raptors. And I don't know if internally that was a signal that we're just tanking the season, that we want to get a top pick and we're going to move on. Because I'd assume that Griffith probably thought that he was going to tank, but obviously he gets fired and replaced for Joe Dumars. But when you evaluate their season, do you consider them a disappointment?
I think you got to look at it. I think context matters.
Yeah.
When you look at it, like you say, they
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Trade BI. They lose DeJounte Murray with the ACL injury. Zion is hit or miss. You never know if he's playing or not.
Yeah.
CJ is really the only consistent one that's there that's truly playing. And even he missed some games. And you see David Griffin get fired. So it's like all of that combined. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a disappointment. Like, yes, they had a bad season, but I think injuries and the BI trade definitely impacted a lot of that. And it's just like, if you don't have a solid foundation from the top, it's not going to produce anything on the court. And I think we saw that this season with them. And really, if we're being honest, the past few seasons with them.
Yeah. So what do you do? Like, if you're Joe Dumars now, do you try to get stars to build around Zion, or do you trade him? And if you trade him, where do you think is the best fit for him?
That's a good point, because my thing is you trade BI. I mean, I think there was conversation there of somebody having to go. Because you're not going to be able to pay everybody. But it's like, You made this investment going and drafting Zion. Do you really want to let him go? If you're an organization, like, granted, and I think that's a that's another conversation too of like, even like you look at somebody like a LaMelo Ball, right? Where like you draft this person first round, you have these high expectations, but the person can't stay on the court. So it's like, do you suffer and hope that he can one season stay healthy for an entire season? Or, man, we done with this dude. He can't stay on the court, so we got to move him. So I think that's kind of where they are now in that situation. But it's like, if you do trade him, you got to get something good for him. But our team's willing to give you something good that you want.
Yeah. I mean, I think Zion is a very interesting topic because I believe they stashed him away at the end of the season and called it an injury because they wanted to show him off knowing that they were going to trade him. Because I believe internally, they just know they need to turn the page. And with Zion, though, if Joe Dumars is looking to surround him with talent, I don't necessarily know if it's going to be a free agent destination. And if you're starting over with draft picks, then you're kind of telling Zion, you know, we're on two different timelines. Because I believe that Zion is still a 25, 26 per game player. But I think a contender would take I mean, there's like two ways you could look at it because no team is saying I'm restarting my franchise with Zion. He's going to have to be a two, right? I mean, the first team that came to my mind was Atlanta, maybe pairing him up with Trey and seeing how that goes and maybe another star. I don't know if you're going to put Risa Sher in the trade or if you're going to keep him around as that three. But there's no real contenders that I think he can make an immediate impact. Minnesota, maybe. You know, depending on what you have to give up, because I think Zion's still electric, but I think the path has to be a trade because what's the point? We're starting over with what? Like, I would consider getting a top pick, maybe, you know, trading him for that top pick. I don't know. I think Luka kind of opened up the floodgates with like, hey, we're not going to be paying superstars this kind of money. So fringe superstars, we're definitely not going to be paying this kind of money, especially if they're injury prone. And dealing with weight issues like Zion.
And I think that last part that you just mentioned is the biggest part though. Because when you look at Luka, he hasn't necessarily had this history of injuries or like missing, you know, significant games like that, right? You look at Zion, this man is barely on the court for real. So it's like if you are a team that may be considering trading for him, it's like I'm not willing to pull that trigger to go get a guy that could possibly be, like you said, 25, 26 points per game. But it's like, how many games am I getting? And what are the Pelicans asking for in return? Because, bro, I'm not giving you Rashard for Zion. Like, no, bro. Like, if I'm the Timberwolves, I'm not giving you Jaden McDaniels for Zion.
Julius Randle and Naz Reid for Zion. Would you make the trade?
Julius Randle and Naz Reid?
Yeah.
I'm a big Naz Reid fan. I'm not trading Naz Reid. No, you can't get him. No. Mm-hmm. Maybe Gobert? Maybe.
But for New Orleans, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, for them.
What are we doing?
I would give them Gobert and Rob Dillingham for Zion.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that. Because I mean, you get
a defensive player of the year candidate, and you get a young guard that you can play. I mean, you still I don't know if they plan on keeping CJ or what's up with that, but. I mean, you still got DeJounte who would be coming off an injury.
So, yeah. I mean, so what about Bill? Would you trade Bill for Zion? Or like KD in it somehow?
I feel like the Suns are also in an interesting spot because it's like Bill clearly doesn't want to be there. KD doesn't want to be there. So it's like, do you take that chance of going to get a Zion in that situation? I mean, if I'm If I'm the Pelicans, do I take Bradley Beal for Zion? I need a little bit more.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Because the thing is, the Ishbia, he still wants to be relevant, right? And so they said they're not trading Devin Booker. So we know right. that Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal on the table. And I'm sure that internally Booker went 3 years ago. We're talking about Booker in the final, like, you know, being in contention for the finals. Now they're irrelevant. And I'm sure Booker's not happy, and they're going to do whatever they can to keep Booker. So it's like, so I guess let me ask you this. We'll kind of segue from Zion. So obviously we know the Luka stuff happens, right? And that blew the sports world open. And I believe that there were a lot of stars and a lot of owners around the leagues, like, you know, you're not as untouchable as we thought. So we just had a conversation about Zion. What superstar or star do you think is getting traded next?
I think it's the guy we just mentioned in KD. If you still, you know, view him as a star, which I think a lot of people probably still do. Or one of those guys in Philly. If they're done, they don't want to move forward with that group. Well, one of those guys can go. But I think also, like, and I guess just to bring home that Zion conversation, right? Like, you have to have some type of direction if you're a team, right? So if you are the Suns, right, and you decide to trade KD and Beal for whatever, okay, are you building around D Book and Zion, for example? Like, and even if you do decide to go that way, is that winning a championship?
See, the thing is, I don't know if Ishbia's concerned about championships. I think he's more concerned about relevancy. Like, you don't want to go into a state of purgatory.
And that's another conversation, too, that we need to have about some of these teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you talking about? You want to be relevant. Bro, the goal is to win championships. We're trying to put together a championship roster to compete for championships. Yeah. That should be every team's goal. We're trying to win the NBA Finals.
I don't think we'll see that anymore. Playoffs? I don't even think it's that. I think that he wants to put butts in the seats. The playoffs are an added bonus, but, like, I think this year, I'm speaking on Ishbia. Like, his problem wasn't that, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. Their problem was, like, man, they had three stars who didn't want to be there. Right. And like you have Bill who's dancing on the floor, dancing on the bench, and they're losing by 20. Right. It just was a bad product. I think that if they would have competed, like if they would have been a solid team with a future and didn't make the playoffs, I think it would have been more palatable to the owner than just being sorry and saying, because, you know, a couple of weeks ago they were in play-in contention and, you know, they were just dropping games left and right. So,
yeah,
I don't think what our logic is the owners. They're concerned about the green, right, in the bottom line, and what can make us relevant. So I don't know.
And I think too, like, one more thing with the Suns, it's like, bro, like, they've had three different coaches in the past, what, 3-4 years. So it's like, yo, you got these star players, you got KD, you got Book, you got Beal. You need a great coach. You got KD over there arguing with the man on the sideline, him and Bill going at it in the media, and then you just got Book there. I ain't heard nothing from Book. What's going on, Book? How you feel about all of this?
Yeah, I'm sure you saw the report saying, like, Bud told Bradley Beal to play more like Drew Holiday.
Bro, what?
What about Michael Malone?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because they still need some pieces around all of that. They still need pieces around.
You don't have that luxury anymore. They don't have a draft pick till 2032.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you are, like, stagnant. You don't have any flexibility in your cap, nor do you have draft picks to trade. So they're going to have to stick with their roster. And, you know, if you go get Batman.
Or blow it up.
Right. Nope. And so I guess that's the question.
Anyways, blow it up. Trade everybody. If you want to build around Book, cool. Bill, we're gonna send you here. KD, we're gonna send you here. We either need draft picks or we need some type of star player.
Yeah, but the problem is that no trade clause will book. I saw a report that said that Phoenix is willing to do a John Wall and just pay him just to leave and just stretch the contract out, you know, over a couple of years. So I don't know. Like, Bill can literally just dictate where he's going. If he doesn't want to leave, you have to keep him on the roster. KD is your only option right now. And you gotta hope that a team is desperate to trade valuable pieces for KD, because the less that teams are out, the more.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
More the teams the hour, the less leverage you have for the Suns. So you could just be getting Julius Randle straight up. I don't know. It's scary, man. But look, when I was asking the question, man, there was one name I was thinking about. It's LaMelo Ball. Because I think LaMelo does not want to be in Charlotte. And he has played like the same amount of games. He's missed the same amount of games as I am. And I think Charlotte needs to have some honest conversations. They're going to have a high draft pick this year. But kind of like you said, where are we going, right? Brandon Miller. I don't even know who else on the roster, honestly.
Miles Bridges, Mark Williams.
Yeah. Mark Williams, who they were trying to trade, you know, to L.A. When we talk about superstars, like, obviously we know KD's going to happen at some point. But I think the Shockers, I could see, you know, LaMelo Ball being traded somewhere, you know, just to get him out of the building. Because I think a lot of teams are just trying to turn the page, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think he's going to get moved. But once again, it's like the same thing with Zion. It's like, what are teams willing to give up for a player who's been injured? It's just like, bro, you can't expect – if you're the Hornets, you can't expect to get A-list type talent or draft picks for somebody who can't stay on the court.
So if you're an NBA owner, do you start your team with LaMelo or Zion? If you only have those two.
C is other. can I get somebody else? I don't know. Me personally, I like guards. So I'm gonna say LaMelo, just off the strength of him being a guard, his ability to shoot the three, facilitate and rebound, pretty much does everything. Like,
yeah.
So I would go LaMelo, but I mean. That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
Neither of them are on the court.
The only thing with LaMelo, though, I feel like I don't know, because I haven't seen him play winning basketball in a while. But I don't know how plug and play he can be compared to Zion. I feel like Zion, you put him at the four with some of these rosters, you can get some great production after him from him. LaMelo, it just feels like you have to change the play style to fit LaMelo. If he's not willing to acquiesce, I don't know. I think I probably would go with Zion. That is tough, though.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of depends on what you, like you said, like what you already have. Because, LaMelo, like you have to adjust to how he plays. Like, he's not gonna come in and be like, "Oh, I got to get Giannis the ball." Like if you put LaMelo on Milwaukee instead of Dame. LaMelo thinks it's his team.
Yeah.
That's how he plays. He's playing like he's the guy. No, bro. Yeah. We got Giannis down there, bro. Give him the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And it's like even some of his injuries, I'm like, man, I don't want to be that guy. But it's like, could you have played through that? Or you just want to just chill? And right. it just feels like Ben Simmons, where it's like, man, you're great when you're on the court. He was leading in all-star votes at the beginning of the season, but it's like, but this team sucks. And you clearly, even when he's on the court, he's just doing what he wants. Like you say, he just clearly doesn't want to be there.
And I think that's also like a part of like that Charlotte culture of like,
yeah,
like you said, like they're not good. So it's like, bro, why would I go out there and try to play through something? Bro, we about to lose.
Yeah.
Bro, no, bro. I'm about to sit down. I'm about to collect this check.
Yeah, that's real. I don't know. I want Charlotte to be good. I feel like after like the 91-92 season, like, you know, Charlotte used to be lit. But ever since then, I mean, you got them Jerry Wallace years with the Bobcats and Kemba. But it's like, it's not been meaningful basketball for most of my life.
And I will say they've been pretty solid in the draft. Like Brandon Miller was a good selection. Like that's a good piece to build around. Now, if LaMelo's healthy, I mean, they could possibly be in the play-in, possibly. But I mean, even then, it's just like, bro, like we need some more pieces.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you end up in Charlotte, it's just like, bro, like that's a dumpster fire. I would hate to get traded there.
Right. And that's the problem. Can't get free agents. People don't want to go there. And like you said, it's kind of it speaks to the culture. It's like, man, you can have great talent, but these guys all have a loser mentality. And then you see your leader on the bench chilling and laughing. It's like, well, what am I doing here? Like, I'm just auditioning to get to a contender.
Hey, who you think worst off, Washington or Charlotte?
Honestly, right now, I would say Washington. Like, he got a couple crash ups on the team, and it's just like, what are we doing? Like, you picked up Middleton. I guess, you know, we'll see what they look like next year. I don't know if they keep Middleton, but you got some veteran presence on the team. I haven't watched much of Sar to see what, you know, he looks like. But I think, like, we know, we've seen Brandon Miller. We've seen LaMelo. They got a lot more pieces that if they want to blow it up, they would get some pieces for. I can't say the same thing about Washington. They have to hit in the draft in order to be successful. And I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know, bro. It's something about that Charlotte culture, bro, that I just don't like, bro. Like we just talked about with LaMelo. It's just like, bro, like, he goes out there and plays however he wants to play. It's like, yo, we're not expecting to win. We just gonna go out there and play street ball. Like you said, at least with Washington, they do have some veterans. They got some veterans that could go out there and still hoop. You got a young talent in Sar that can hoop. Now, is Jordan Poole the right answer? Probably not. But I mean, you got them.
Yeah.
You got Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton. You had some guys on that roster.
Yeah, solid. Yeah.
They just don't have that star. And Jordan Poole is not it.
It's not it at all. Yeah. It's interesting, man. That's a great question. It's a sorry conversation, but yeah, I don't know, man. So I guess before we talk about the playoffs, I want to kind of touch on what you were saying earlier about some of these coach firings, because it appears that, you know, the ownership is not after, you know, getting a championship, right? And I before we get to Denver, I want to end with Denver. Let's start with Memphis. So a couple of weeks ago, we see that randomly Taylor Jenkins gets fired, and for about four or five games, they've been they've made the play-in game. They won a couple of games with their interim coach. From what I've seen, they really like their assistant coach who has, you know, international ties, and they wanted to run more with him and see as an audition how he would look as the head coach. The owner actually even talked highly of the assistant coach and said that they expected this to spark the team to make a finals run. So let's talk about the firing, and then we'll kind of get in the segue about, you know, what this means for the league ownership and talk about the Grizzlies. So what do you think?
You ever heard the saying growing up, like, there's a time and there's a place for everything?
Yeah.
It wasn't the time for that. it wasn't the time for that, bro. You're talking about something, this could spark a deep playoff run. Bro, what?
Yeah.
are you delusional? No, bro. You had all season to do this, bro. You wait till the end of the season? Taylor Jenkins?
Yeah. They were top three in the West. Like,
bro, it wasn't the time and place for that, bro. Like, my thing is, like I said, like, you wait till the end of the season. Like, what was it? What was the final straw to be like, okay, yeah, it's time to move in a different direction? Like, did he just make you mad personally or something?
See, I think, you know, I don't know, but my assumption is it came down to Ja. I don't think any coach gets fired without first going to the star. And from what I've seen and, you know, heard from TV and stuff like that, you know, they said, like, secretly Ja was unhappy with his role on the team. Like, even though he was the star, he wasn't getting the same looks and the same, he didn't have the same ideology as Taylor Jenkins.
Okay.
And I was talking, well, I was listening to Gil's Arena, and they were talking about how the ownership was mad that that Jenkins put JJJ back in the roster, like, gave him heavy minutes, because now he would be able to get, you know, the DPOY. And if he got the DPOY, they would have to give him the $300 million, or, you know, he would be eligible for it. You know, and that's kind of some higher talk that, you know, I don't know much about, but it seemed like, in my opinion, it really came down to what Ja wanted and what he didn't want.
Yeah, I just don't think that was the right time to do that, bro. Like I said, like, yeah, the West was close. Like I said, I mentioned them as being, you know, one of the disappointments. But I mean, I don't think it was that fault of Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. I'm always somebody that's on the assumption that, like, players got to play at the end of the day. Regardless of if you like what I'm calling or, like what we trying to do on offense or defense, bro, like, go hoop, bro. If we win, we can disagree behind closed doors or whatever, but, bro, like, go win a game.
Yeah.
Go hoop. Do whatever it takes to win, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't necessarily, like, think it was the right time. Like, if they would have missed the playoffs, or if they would have, you know, got bounced early in the playoffs this year, I could understand it, right? Because I believe that certain, like, Taylor Jenkins is, like, a great coach for a team with few stars, no stars. Like, he could take a team that had, you know, fringe great players, like a Houston Rockets, and do the same thing Ime is doing, right? And making the playoffs, you know, achieving, going above average, I mean, you know, above expectations. But I don't know how good of a coach he is with managing superstars. And, you know, that's really what Ja has started to become. And low-key, bro, I know this is going to sound messed up, but I feel like Taylor Jones is like, thank you. Like, I don't know necessarily if, like, he fits that team or if he ever did.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And really, man, you know, Ja, mainly because of the off the court activities, I think, you know, Ja has to look around, like, look over his shoulder and say, man, like, I don't know what this means for me. Like, because I don't think that roster looked the same like it did last year. And, you know, Ja's been a big proponent on getting JJJ paid, getting Desmond Bane paid, getting his guys on the team. But I think one of them are gone. And I think Ja's going to be able to stay this year, but I don't know if JJJ is on the team next year. And yeah. I think that's going to be a signal from ownership that you don't control this team anymore, Ja.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just crazy. It's crazy to think that, based off what you just said about him possibly having something to do with Taylor Jenkins getting fired. But yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to the Luka point too. It's like, anybody can get traded.
Anybody.
Anybody can get traded.
Anybody.
So like, don't think it's sweet, Ja. Don't think it's sweet, Jared Jackson. Bane, I know we just paid you, but hey, don't think it's sweet.
Yeah.
But once again, it goes back to what are we trying to do? Because me personally, you fired Taylor Jenkins, bro. You're not trying to make no deep playoff run.
Yeah.
Nobody fires a coach that late in the season and expects to make a deep playoff run. Even Denver.
Yeah.
You could have waited till after the playoffs, literally like 3 weeks, 3 weeks. You could have waited. That timing is just that don't sit right with me, man.
Yeah. So I guess like from there, let's segue to Denver. Like, I think 3 days before the playoffs, Mike Malone gets fired. Obviously, I think that was probably the biggest of all the coaches' firings that was surprising this year. But, you know, Denver's in a unique place. The owner said the same thing about Denver, that, you know, he expects the team to still compete for championships. But I think with the roster that he was dealt this year, he did the best that he could do. Like, Jamal Murray's been injured. Yeah. Aaron Gordon has lacked production in the past couple months. And it's like Jokic has been doing it all. And as we saw in the reports, that Mike Malone wasn't a big fan of Calvin Booth, that, you know, the GM, and they butted heads. And when you look at the roster, I can see why. Like, I mean, you have Julian Strother, you have Peyton Watson. I mean, these are okay pieces, but he's missed on a lot of draft picks. And mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of contention over the whole Russell Westbrook addition. I think Mike Malone loved veterans. He loved Russ energy. But Calvin Booth wanted to play something with the younger guys. And there was that game a couple of weeks ago where, you know, Russ misses the layup and then he goes fouls the guy and they lose. I think that's what everybody's been saying. That was like the boiling point for everybody. So what are your thoughts on that, the Nuggets situation?
Yeah. And like you said, Murray's been in and out the lineup. But I think when they got Westbrook, I don't know. Me personally, like, I knew that would, like, ruffle some feathers. Whether they said it or not, like, even just him coming in and figuring out his role. Like, am I starting? Am I coming off the bench? Am I playing the two? Am I playing the one? Is Jamal going to be in the lineup? Like, all of that, like, played a big factor in how their season has went.
Yeah.
So, I mean, speaking on the firing in itself, it's just like, bro, like, I didn't expect them to fire Malone. Like, despite all of that, like, I didn't expect them to fire Malone when they did.
Yeah.
It's just like, bro, like, don't forget, this man bought a championship here.
Bro, yes. And was beaten, like, even the Lakers, like, he was controlling them for, like, look, 3 or 4 years straight.
Look, like, did we forget that? Did we forget that this man bought a championship to Denver?
Right.
Did we forget that despite everything that we just said bad about their season, they're in the conversation still, despite all of that?
Yeah. It's interesting because I didn't know this, but the same owner, he owns the Rams and he owns the Nuggets. And what they were saying, I was listening to John Metcalf, and he was just talking about how, you know, when the owner goes to the Rams organization and sees Sean McVay and like how he's such a player's coach and is still able to win and compete, like he said he wasn't seeing that same thing with the Nuggets. And I'm just like, I don't know everything internally what's happening, but you can't tell me that Michael Malone is not a top five coach, man. Like, and the thing is, I feel what I'm scared of is like players have to understand the grass is not always greener. Like, you might not find another Taylor Jenkins job. Like, Michael Malone was looking out for you because early in his Nuggets run, it was getting spooky. Like, obviously we know Bubble Jamal, like from then it was good, but it's like he put you in positions to succeed. And like, coaching is more than just feeling good. Like, you have to be in position to play good. And I think that goes with coaching. So, I mean, I think with Jokic, they will still compete in the near future. But, like, even for what we're talking about, the Grizzlies, there can be some dark years coming up that, you know, Ja gets frustrated. Why are we not winning? It's like, man, you let go of your top guy.
Yeah, and not even just the players, too, but, like, ownership has to understand that, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not always green on the other side. Like you said, like, if Malone is viewed as a top five coach, who are you about to go hire?
Yeah, that's going to compete immediately because you're on a ticking time clock with Jokic's prime.
And don't think he about to miss the playoffs and talking about returning after that.
Like, yeah.
Jokic's about to be gone.
Yeah.
They better knock it out the park with whoever they sign as a coach.
Yeah.
Whoever they bring it in as the coach. They better hope they knock it out the park. And like I said, like, are you competing for a championship? Whoever you bring in, that's the standard in Denver. Like, maybe in Memphis you can get away with that of not competing for a championship right now. But Denver just won a championship. They know how it feels to win a championship. Jokic is an MVP front runner and an NBA champion. Like, he wants to feel that again, I'm sure.
Yeah. But the thing with Denver, though, and what's different from the Grizzlies, you've got to nail the coach and GM. So, you know, you can miss on one and it can ruin your franchise. So he's got to get two hits, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting, man. I think, do you foresee any other contenders? You know the sorry team is going to fire their coach, but do you foresee any contending coaches getting fired like this, like even after the season?
I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see possibly like a Tibbs possibly getting fired. Like we talked about earlier, like you mentioned, like, brother, Knicks are what, 0-8, 0-9 against the top teams in the league? Like, when you look at their record against the Cavaliers, the Celtics, and the Thunder, they're like 0-8. So it's like, if you're a team that's trying to compete for a championship and you can't get it done, Yeah, brother, you gotta go. And it's gonna be interesting too to see how the Knicks do in the playoffs. Like, maybe that determines it. And we know the conversation. Everybody knows that Tibbs plays his starters a lot of minutes. We already heard Mikal earlier in the season talking about, yo, we got guys on the bench that could be playing. So clearly he probably not rocking with all the minutes for real. So if the Knicks get dropped off early and upper management is just like, yo, Tibbs is not the guy no more, especially with somebody like Mike Malone or Taylor Jenkins that's available. Shoot, why not try to go get one of them guys?
Yeah, that's real. But the thing is, like the conversation we just had, yeah, no, Tibbs be losing versus the contenders, but remember where y'all came from. Like, those post-Melo years up till now, like, there are some dark seasons. Like, y'all are actually relevant again. I think you owe him some credit for that. And if you fire him, there's no guarantee that you get Jenkins or Malone, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's obviously with pay, I'm pretty sure New York has a high budget, but they might not want to deal with it. So I just don't know. I feel like low-key, depending on what happens in the first and second rounds, Doc Rivers might be gone.
Milwaukee. Like,
yeah. I just think, you know, the Doc era might be over. We might see him with Doris Burke next year. And some of that's out of his hands, but with them trying to bring Dame Lillard back, he just got cleared, you know, for the blood contusion. I think they're just trying to see is like, hey, should we just blow this up and just move on? Or should we run it back with, you know, talent and just replace the coach? So I think he's been on the chopping block for a while, but we'll see. I think he has the hottest seat this playoffs.
What do you think about Chris Finch?
My only thing with Chris Finch, though, is like, I could see if you still had Cat. But towards the end of the season, they have actually been playing good basketball. And honestly, you know, we'll get into it in a little bit. Like, I think they're going to compete versus the Lakers, I believe they play in the first round. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's a terrible coach. I think, like we've been saying, it's going to come down to, are me and my star on the same timeline? If Ant doesn't want him to go, he's not going to go. But right. if you see a frustrated Ant losing to the Lakers in the first round, it could be real scary for him.
Yeah. And I think also, like, when you talk about that relationship between star and coach, right? Like, when we saw Chris Finch go down with that injury last year on the sideline, just like, bro, like, it was riding for Buddy, bro. Like,
yeah.
That's going to be interesting. But I do think that if they, like you said, if they get dropped off relatively quick versus the Lakers, I think we can start having that conversation about, is Chris Finch the right guy? Like, are we wasting Anthony Edwards' years in Minnesota? Like what's going on? What we doing? So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. But I think those three names that we mentioned are definitely probably the closest to maybe getting fired.
Yeah, yes. I think that's a good segue for, you know, this talk about the playoffs. So, like, you know, we've gotten, you know, a couple of games in from the play-in tonight. If y'all are watching this, the Hawks and the Heat play. And in the other round, I think it's the Grizzlies and Mavs, I believe, is in the Western Conference. So before we actually dive into the actual playoffs, are there any things from the play-in that you want to talk about?
I think both of these games should be pretty good. I'm hoping the Grizzlies take care of business versus the Mavericks. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think AD is going to be enough with, you know, Jaren Jackson, with Bane, with Edie, with Ja. Memphis should take care of business against Dallas. Now, if they don't, it's going to be a long offseason in Memphis. It's going to be a long offseason in Memphis.
It's true.
And then in the East, not that it really matters either way. Like, I don't think either one of these teams are pulling off an upset in the first round, but I would probably prefer to see the Heat win that game versus the Hawks. I don't know, man. Something about that Heat culture, man. Come playoffs, you know, they're at least gonna try to compete.
Yeah. So I'm gonna actually defend Nico real quickly. Because you had mentioned it earlier, like a couple months ago, but like I was watching the game. Now, granted, it's the Sacramento Kings, yes. But when I was looking at the game, I saw the vision. I was like, okay, Nico, I see it. Because that Gafford Davis front court, it was insane. Like they were blocking shots. AD was guarding on the perimeter and guarding in the post. And I was like, man, if Kyrie was on this team, we would actually be talking about this team. Like they might be a competitor in the West. And Clay played well. Like once again, it's been the Sacramento Kings, but he played well. And I think when Nico's looking at it, he's like, okay, if they're all sharing the ball and defensively we're stalwart, nobody's able to get past us. Like this is definitely a championship roster. And so nobody's going to say it. It's still a crazy trade because of the timing, the level of stardom that Luka has, but AD is no slouch. Like AD can still cook on both ends. So I had to give a little bit of praise. We'll see how they're going to do tonight. But I was like, Nico, I see the vision. I see.
Yeah. Shout out to Nico, man. He caught a lot of flack during the trade, but like health, that's what it's coming down to, really. Health.
Yeah.
Like you said, had they been healthy, it's close in the West. It's close in the West. Like they literally could have been with a healthy Kyrie, healthy AD. They probably still would have been in the play-in. Looking at the standings, they probably still would have been in the play-in. But they're in the conversation. They're in the conversation.
Yeah.
They're definitely a team you don't want to see in the first round. If healthy.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And the thing is, even going back to the Lakers game, everybody's talking about how Luka put 45 on them. It was a 3-point game with like 5 minutes left. Like it was close. And I think if Kyrie would have been on that team and healthy, they would have won that game. Like Nico's not a fool. And I know people have been saying, oh, he got pressure by ownership. But it's like, no, when you look at this team, I wouldn't have made the trade, but I can see where he's going with this. Yeah. So, yeah. In the Eastern Conference, I'm with you. I think, you know, the Heat are definitely a scary team. I think the Cavs are praying that they see the Hawks instead of the Heat because I mean, like Harrell, he had like 25, obviously is versus the Bulls, but and them all them players from, you know, Bam all the way to the 13th guy on the bench, man, they play hard. They play for Spo, and Spo just find a way to get it done, man. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting, bro. So I guess we'll start there. We'll start in the East. So we're gonna start with Cavs as the top seed versus the winner of the Hawks and the Heat. How are you feeling about that series? And just kind of talk to me about what you're seeing and a prediction of what you're, you know, of the series.
So what? Either earlier this week or last week, I was watching the Cavaliers play. They were playing the Pacers, right? And yeah. I think Donovan Mitchell was out. I think Garland was out. They were pretty much resting their starters. But like you said with Miami, Cleveland plays hard too.
Yeah.
Cleveland plays hard too. Mobley's been having a great season. Donovan Mitchell's been hooping. They should take care of business in the first round. I don't see them getting upset. They should be fine in the first round. And I think Donovan Mitchell and Mobley are going to get it done.
Yeah. I agree. I think Jimmy with this roster, I would be very scared because I think they could steal a couple. But I just don't think they have enough. And I think the Cavs have been rolling all year. I do believe in this playoffs, Darius Garland's going to play a good factor because we know we're going to get from Donovan. It's going to be interesting to see how Darius can like feed off of Donovan's energy and what he's going to put up. So I assume you got the Cavs in the series, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be probably, good?
If they play the Heat, I say they get it in five. I don't think the Heat gonna get swept. So I'll say Cleveland in five.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got 4-1. All right, so let's go to the Celtics and Magic. So I'll start and say, man, first of all, I don't know what Ben Carey's been doing in the offseason, but when I saw him the other day, I was like, man, this is like a center. Like, this is ridiculous. And I think the Magic, the seeding doesn't match their team because both him and Wagner were hurt during the season, but they're better than a seven seed. When I was watching the Hawks game, they have elite players defensively, and you got KCP off the bench. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, Anthony Black that step up in the playoffs. But I mean, Cole Anthony was coming off the bench and he gave you 20. Like, and so if he can have that same kind of production, I don't think they'll get past the Celtics, but they definitely can expose some things with the Celtics that I see. I think from the Celtics standpoint, the thing that scares me the most, and when I went to the Pistons game, I saw this, was like, sometimes like you can play down to the level of your competition. And with the Pistons game, it just felt like they were playing around and they got down 20. But the fortunate thing is they're so reliant on the three that a big lead doesn't matter to them. After the third quarter, they were up by 20. And I'm just scared with that volatility because my fear, and we'll kind of talk about this in the later rounds, but like when JT and JB get in those situations where it's like, man, I've been up 20 all season. Now I'm down three. It's like, what do we do now? What does our offense look like now? And for Missoula, it's like, yeah, you saw that a lot, you know, in this, you've been to the finals, but I think this finals was kind of skewed because I don't necessarily believe that the talent that he saw last year in the finals is going to be the talent he sees this year. Like, you're going to have to make adjustments throughout the playoffs, and it can Missoula make those key adjustments in crunch time in order to win games. And so I think this playoffs is not just for Missoula, but it's really about Tatum. Like, Tatum's been disrespected all year, right? Even from going back to the Olympics. Nobody has put him as face of the league conversations, not MVP conversations, but he's been putting up, he's putting up some good numbers. But my fear is when it gets close, what comes out of that?
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting. Like you said, like playoff series, teams can really lock in and make adjustments throughout the game and throughout the series in itself. So it's like when you see those changes, like you said, are you going to fold or are you going to stand up and be a man, as we say? But going back to your point with the Magic, man, like you said, like, they were a five seed last year that pushed Cleveland to the brink. So this team is no joke, no slouch. Like, don't take them lightly. And like you said, they had a few injuries, key injuries to their two star players. So it's like, yo, they're back now. they've been a good defensive team the past few years. So it's like, yo, they could possibly make something shake. I don't think they'll win the series, of course. No, I'm not saying that. But it could go 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so everybody at work, everybody around here is saying that the Pistons are going to win in 6. Now, that ain't me, but I'm just telling you what everybody else is saying. So we got the Pistons playing the Knicks, and this is closer than a lot of people would think, because I don't know how Tibbs' team is going to look in the playoffs with them playing all these minutes. I do believe that the Knicks are going to win this series. I think it's going to be in 6. But I'm going to tell you right now, when they go to Little Caesars Arena, the Pistons haven't been in the playoffs in so long. Man, they think that this is the NBA Finals. And my only problem with the Pistons, I think they're elite defensively. Like, J.B. Bickerstaff has done some great things with that roster with what he has. They have some veterans on the roster that can, you know, help, you know, the young people get – the young players get adjusted for this playoffs, period. The question is going to be Malik Beasley. It's like the Malik Beasley that I saw in the regular season – can he put up that same production in the postseason? Because we know Cade is going to get 25. We know Cade is going to eat. The question is, who else, right? And I believe that Tobias, we know that this is the time that Tobias already books his Cancun trip. I don't know necessarily if they have a second go-get-a-bucket guy. And the Knicks, even though, you know, they've been run down to the ground, I trust the Knicks offense more with Cat Brunson, Mike Cal, than I trust the offense of Detroit. And I think it's going to come down to, you know, who can score. Because we're not looking at Isaiah Pistons with, you know, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn. We're not looking at that team anymore. We're looking at a team in a generation that offense matters. So what do you think?
So you touched on the offensive side of the things, man. But I think for the Knicks to win – You got to cut the head of the snake off, bruh. Somebody got to guard Cade, bruh.
Is it gonna be Mike Al?
Bruh, he got cooked. He was out there getting torched, bruh. Hold on, I'm about to pull it up for you. This man Cade's been going crazy on the Knicks, bruh. Here, go right here. I got you. This Joker's averaging 30 on the Knicks. They went, 3-1 versus the Knicks in the regular season, bro? Bro, somebody guard this man, bro. Tibbs, you supposed to be this defensive mind, bro. Bro, draw something up. Bro, we need to hold him to 20 at least. Can we hold him to 20?
Yeah.
Bro, you letting this man get 30 a game. This man talking about, oh, I got to see what Malik Beasley doing. Malik Beasley? Bro, somebody guard Cade. They not going to need no Malik Beasley. They not going to need no Tobias Harris.
You think Cade can beat y'all in a series by himself?
Bro, he's beating us 3 games. Somebody got to guard this man, bro. Somebody got to be a man and stand up. OG, Josh Hart. We got all these wing defenders. Oh, we built to beat the Celtics. We can't beat the Pistons.
Yo. Nah, I ain't watched too many of the Knicks Pistons game this year, but I'm just saying y'all have a wealth of talent defensively. Like, y'all got
and nobody can guard Cade.
That's ridiculous. Man, if y'all lose to the Pistons, man, we're gonna have to have some internal thoughts, because that's ridiculous. I think y'all can get bested. So do you have the Knicks winning the series?
Yeah, I got the Knicks winning, but it won't surprise me if it goes 7. It would not surprise me one bit if it goes 7 games. And I probably wouldn't be mad if it goes 7 games, because we probably get some good hoops.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think they have enough. I think the Pistons are going to get 1 at Little Caesars just off of the crowd, everything, the hype, momentum, and all. But I don't see it being close. I got y'all winning in 6. Now, if y'all drop 1 in Madison Square early on, it's gonna get spooky, because I don't know what this roster looks like together in these moments. And it's like, Cat, you cooked early in the season, but we've seen Cat in the playoffs, you know, get lost. And I hope he doesn't do that with the Pistons. So
and one thing I'll add to and I said it earlier already, but like, I gotta see how Brunson is, bro. Like, we don't need you playing like last year, bro.
Yeah,
you have help, you have adequate talent around you that can go get buckets, specifically on the offensive end. Jalen Brunson, you don't have to play how you played last year, bro. Work the ball around, bro. Get Cat involved. You got Mikal. You got OG. Bro, let them cook. You have help.
That's true.
Don't think that's you got to do it by yourself, bro, because if he feel like he got to get into a shootout with Cade, I don't think that's what you want to do, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. You got anything else on the series you want to talk about?
Nah. Knicks, somebody be a man. Guard Cade, slow him down somehow. We win this series. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really simple. Got to stop Cade. All right, so we're going to go to the Pacers Bucks. I think in the first round, this is probably the most interesting series in the East. Obviously, because Dame's coming back with the blood clot. Going to see how it looks, you know, with him coming back. Because the question is now is like, you know, do I rush him back? You know, I guess it's going to depend on game one, game two. And what does he look like coming back? Is he in basketball shape? What is offense like? And on the other end, we see that the Pacers have had the most up and down season in all of the league. There's been some stinkers with Halliburton, but, you know, they've been solid. They got some solid pieces, and they've been in this position before. So my question to you is, what does it take for the Pacers to win in this series?
And I think when we talk about the Pacers, when we look at the Pacers, I think a lot of, I wouldn't necessarily say hype, but like noise was associated with them because of their playoff success last year, right?
Yeah.
We saw them make a deeper run in the playoffs. And I think that when you talk about Halliburton being that nice piece, it's kind of similar. Not necessarily on the same level as like a Jalen Brunson, right? Of like how he plays necessarily. But like, bro, you have help. You got Siakam that's been playing pretty good. You got multiple shooters around there. Obi Toppin. So I mean, the Pacers are poised to do something. I think the bigger question is, what is Milwaukee going to do? Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily questions about the Pacers, but I think the question should be directed towards Milwaukee. Like Giannis, yo.
Yeah.
You should beat the Pacers. The Bucks should beat the Pacers.
Yeah.
But we're going to see. I think, like you said, it's probably the best matchup in the East. I would probably put New York and Detroit up there too. Is those two being probably the two best series on the East. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
yeah,
my heart wants to say Milwaukee should win this series, but
is it going seven?
I think it depends on Dame's health.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Dame's health determines that. I think if Dame is unable to go somehow, some way, and he's unable to play, it might get scary for Milwaukee. If Dame's able to go and he's only, you know, 70%, I think a 70% Damian Lillard can help them win the series.
Yeah. My issue is not even with Dame's health. It's with Doc Rivers and the rotation. It's just like, what are we doing? Like, let's say Dame is 50%. Do I start him? Do I just work him off the bench? What does that look like? Because, I mean, I think at this point, the Pacers have their rotation set. I think Benedict Mathurin is the big piece because he's put up some good minutes and some good numbers. But I guess this series is less about the talent and more about the stability versus instability with rotations. And even, you know, Pacers go 2-0, the whole talk is going to be, where is Giannis getting traded next season? So I think there's more pressure on the Bucks to win this series. And because the Pacers are playing with house money, I think it could get scary for the Bucks early. And with them having a 4 seed, their first two games are going to start in Indiana. So,
and,
yeah, I don't know.
And I will say though, for Milwaukee, I think somebody that's going to be a key factor, Mr. Bobby Portis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Bobby Portis. If Dame's unable to go, if Dame's not 100%, yo, you got Bobby Portis that can go and get you 20 in to steal two games or something like that, right? So
yeah.
I like the point that you made too about the rotations, right? Because the Pacers are set. They know who they're playing. They know what they're going to be getting from these players. Milwaukee, on the other hand, is Dame going to be out there?
Yeah.
Can Bobby Portis get us 20 in two games? A lot of question marks. A lot of question marks. But they got Giannis. That's my thing. You still got Giannis, who's been playing at a very high level.
Yeah.
Is Siakam holding Giannis?
Absolutely not.
All right. Yeah. We saw what Giannis can do. We know what Giannis can do. Don't forget that. I just want people to remember that. Don't forget, it's still Giannis that we're talking about.
So who do you have? You have the Bulls.
Bucks in seven.
Man.
It's tough, though. It's going to be tough.
It's really going to be that first game for me that's going to tell me everything. Off of star power alone, I got Bucks in six. I think they can steal one.
Six?
I think they can steal one and with the Pacers. I mean, you know.
That Pacers offense is.
Yeah,
it could get ugly quick for Milwaukee now.
Say, I don't know, man. My heart. I want to believe in the Pacers, but I could see Giannis having a triple double in the first game, and then the momentum shifts. Like, I'm gonna stick with Bucks on six. That would be surprising for me if the Pacers pull it out. All right, so let's go over to the West. I want to save the West for the last because there's gonna be some interesting series. I know we're gonna disagree on a couple of these. All right, so let's start out with the Rockets Warriors. So I feel like this is going to be a very interesting series. Obviously, I think this is a tale of youth versus experience, right? What Ime has done with that roster has been great. They got some good pieces, but I don't know if they have anybody besides Van Fleet who's had experience on this level playing against Curry, who's been in the finals probably 6 or 7 years straight. You know, obviously, you know, with the whole Bron Warriors decade. What are your thoughts on this series? I want to know your thoughts before we give predictions.
So, I think the one thing that, like you said, youth versus experience.
Yeah.
Like Draymond on one side, Jimmy on one side, Kerr on one side. You got Jalen Green, Sengun, Thompson, Van Fleet, Ime on the other side, right?
Yeah.
But I think also like Jimmy Butler's health. That's gonna be we gotta monitor it, right? So it's gonna be tough, like you said. It's gonna tell the two different styles, but yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting, man. Curry, it's hard to bet against him, man. It's hard to bet against that man. It's hard to bet against that man. I don't know. And you add Jimmy, who, bruh, playoff Jimmy? Like, that's a thing. Playoff Jimmy is real.
It is.
Like, I just talked about his injury, but playoff Jimmy is real. That man's going to be out there playing at a very high level.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. Whether that's him getting 10 assists, whether that's him getting 20 points, whether that's him getting 10 rebounds, whatever it takes.
Yeah. See, my thing, though, is playoff Jimmy is real, but I don't know. I think playoff Jimmy was real within the defensive intensity of the Heat's culture, because I don't know if the defense with the Warriors will match that same energy that he experienced with the Heat. Now, granted, I know he has more stars with this Warriors team. But what I believe is going to happen is, like, you know, they're going to, Ime is going to follow the same formula they did when they beat him a couple of weeks ago. We're going to blitz Curry off of the pick and roll, and we're going to force Curry to get the ball out of his hands. They're going to make Jimmy Butler beat them, and obviously Brandon Pasemski, Kuminga, and Draymond. I know Curry can still go off in the midst of all of that because they're going to run him around the court, but you've got Amen Thompson, and I do believe he's not a Curry stopper, but I do believe he can give Curry some trouble, and they're not going to get the looks that they want. I've been going back and forth, bro, because I think this is going to be a very interesting series. That's why I want to start with it, bro. But I just don't like the vibes outside of Steph Curry. Like, even with Butler, we're hoping that he has a playoff Jimmy game. But even with him playing good in the play-in, they almost lost to the Grizzlies if it not been for a flawed out-of-bounds play. So he can still go off and they still be in a position to lose. That's what worries me.
But see, I will say, to counter what you said, I think that having Jimmy Butler, like I said, he's going to do whatever it takes to win, right? If you want to blitz Ime, if you want to blitz Steph Curry coming off the screens, don't forget we still got Jimmy Butler. We can put the ball in his hands. He can play make. He can facilitate. He can post you up. And then on the defensive end, you talk about the defensive intensity, right? Somebody who we haven't talked about, Mr. Draymond Green. He has a case for defensive player of the year.
Yeah, easily. I think he wins it.
So I think having him on that back end, they're bringing what's his name off the bench? Looney off the bench.
Yeah.
I think they can lock in defensively for enough games to get it done.
Yeah.
I agree. Man. It's just something about having Jimmy on my team come playoffs where, like, bro, like, I'm ready to go to war. I'm ready to run through a brick wall. Just because he on the team.
Yeah.
He could literally be on the bench, not even playing, like, in street clothes. Bro, I'ma still go out there and play hard.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the Warriors might take it to another level come playoffs, bro. Like, I don't think it's going to be the same Warriors team that you saw in the regular season. So we gonna see, man. We gonna see, man. Kuminga got something to play for, man. We gonna see, man.
So, all right. So give me your prediction. What do you think? How many?
And who's I'm going Warriors. Yeah. I think it'll go six. I don't think it gets to seven games. I'm gonna say Warriors in six.
I'm going Rockets in seven. I'm sticking to it, man.
See, that's the thing too. You think they're gonna win a game seven versus Steph Curry? Stop it.
I'm rolling with Ime.
We gonna come back to this. Let it go seven and watch what happens. Chef Curry.
Yeah, but this is gonna be the biggest loss of the playoffs so far. Yeah. Rockets and stuff. We got it. No, I'm just saying with the way it's going to look. I don't think
necessarily upset. I mean, I feel like they're supposed to win.
Yeah, they are the two seed. But what you just said, like, we're not expecting Curry to drop in the playoffs in the first round. But I think people sleeping on the Rockets. Like, even though they're the number two seed, like, people, and like, just because of youth, that they can't go and win. Man, they got, like, Dylan Brooks has been playing hard. Like, he's not going to stop Jimmy. But they got bodies to throw at these players, man.
They got the Dylan Brooks stopper, boy. Draymond, boy. We both getting ejected. What?
That's real, bro. All right, so let's go to the other side of the bracket with the Thunder. They're going to be playing the winner of the game tonight, the Mavericks and Grizzlies. Man, so, you know, Thunder been a top team all season, led by SGA. The thing that concerns me, Hondo, is this, like, everybody has been calling SGA a foul merchant, and rightfully so. He's led the league in free throw, shooting attempts and percentage. Well, not percentage, but attempts. My question, though, and my issue is that we know that the refs are going to swallow the whistle in the postseason. This was the problem with James Harden. He wasn't getting to the line the same, begging for calls, wasn't getting them. And in the event that SGA is not having a good game, who's going to step up. And I'm not saying it for this series in particular. I'm saying that more so for the playoffs, right? I believe that the Thunder would rather see the Grizzlies than see the Mavericks. I think that with the bodies that the Mavericks can throw at SGA and make a wall, I don't know, because the Mavs are going to just make the Thunder make threes. But I think in this series, in particular, the most important person is going to be Jalen Williams. I think Jalen Williams can give you, you know, 20, and he can be the X factor to make some stops on the defensive end to help, you know, propel that team and get the momentum going. What are your thoughts about the series?
Well, I guess it's yet to be determined. But I did mention that I would rather see, you know, Memphis beat Dallas. But more so just from, like, I was looking at it, thinking of it more so from, like, a youth perspective, right?
Yeah.
We get to see Ja. We get to see SGA going at it. Desmond Bane, Jalen Williams, those guys. I think when you look at that, like you said, they should be fine this series. But yeah, if SGA can't have a 30-point game, when defenses are able to key in and lock in and see exactly where he likes to go, forcing him to beat them in other ways, it is going to get interesting for them. Can Jalen Williams be that guy? Come playoffs, we're going to see. I guess we just got to wait and see. But I definitely think for this first round, they should be fine. And I think SGA is good enough to where, like, I don't think he's going to get in a situation where he's going to be, like, crying for fouls in the sense of, like, it takes him out of his game to where, like, he still can't get buckets. Like, yeah, he gets fouled a lot, but, bro, like, his game is still smooth, bro. He can still get to his spots and knock down shots. Like, let's not act like all of his points are coming from the free throw line. A good bit of them might be, but he can still hit a shot now. Come on. So I think they'll be fine this round, whether it's Dallas or Memphis. But I definitely think I would, as a fan, I would like to see them play Memphis.
Yeah,
versus Dallas instead of Dallas.
So, regardless of if it's Memphis or the Mavs, you think the Thunder are going to win in the series?
They should get.
I agree. I don't think it'll be close with either team. I mean, I think it'll be maybe six with the Grizzlies because of what you said, that youth versus youth. But I think if they play the Mavs, they don't have enough offensively to keep up. So,
AD going to go down with an ankle injury or something.
And if it's on Clay, that's it.
Hey, he going to go up and score over Jalen Williams and come down and roll his ankle, and it's over. Series over. Well,
it's over.
There goes the Mavericks.
Yep. Back to booing Nico. Yeah, bro. But so let's segue to the Nuggets Clippers. This is another interesting series. Clippers been playing some good basketball, bro, especially towards the end of the year. And I believe, like, the storyline around this series is actually going to be on James Harden, because, you know, for his entire career, we know what he can do in the regular season. It's about these moments. Can you keep that same production going into these moments? And I think the difference is, trying to think back to his rosters, this is the best two-way player that he's played with. And because Kawhi is going to handle everything. Am I tripping? I'm trying to think about his rosters, right? He had KD.
That's safe to say.
So he doesn't have to worry as much on the defensive end, right, that he would in previous years, so he can still keep up that offensive production. That's where I was really going with it. And obviously, you know, Tyloo has been experienced in the playoffs, right, leading on and then to the finals. So, man, I've been going back and forth, because on the other side, you got Jokic. And Jokic versus Zubac, I mean, clearly we know Jokic is going to win, but the question is how much can Zubac stop Jokic at all, if at all? And I think we're going to have Jamal Murray back this game. So, you know, like you said before, the Nuggets went to the finals 2 years ago. So this team is experienced. They have, that level of exposure to the playoffs, and was going to be on the coach to see if he can be that same kind of Mike Malone X's and O guy to help, you know, get them over the Clippers. What are your thoughts on the series?
I think who were we talking about earlier? What team was it that we were talking about? I'll just use SGA as an example, right? So, like you talked about, Jalen Williams, can he be that guy? That's my same question for the Nuggets. Outside of Jokic, who's gonna be that guy? Who's gonna step up come playoffs? If Zubac can slow down Jokic a little bit, make it tough for him, who's gonna be that next guy for Denver? Is it MPJ? Is it Gordon? Is it Murray? We're gonna see, man. But I'm like you said, this is gonna be a good series. Having Kawhi is big. Norman Powell's been playing big this year.
Yeah,
like a big Zoo, defensive player of the year in that conversation. Most improved in that conversation. So yeah, man.
And it's got to be noted that this is the first year they're not playing in the Staples Center. So they have their own arena now. So it's going to be interesting to see what that playoff energy looks like.
Yeah. And like you said, like all eyes on James Harden. Can he deliver in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Can he deliver in the playoffs? We're going to see. But if I had to give a prediction, give me the Clippers, man. Give me the Clippers. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to take the Clippers. Clippers in seven. Hard to go against Jokic, but I'm going to go with the Clippers.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's tough. Oh, man. It's tough. I would like to see Jokic go to the second round, yes. But I'm going to go Clippers.
My only thing about the Clippers, though, is like, on paper, talking today on what, April 18th, it sounds great. But both of these players on the Clippers, we know it's like, okay, Kawhi had a knee sprain and he's out for the rest of the postseason. Like what? Like if they're healthy, barring health, I do believe the Clippers will win in six. I do believe that it won't go seven. If they're both healthy, both producing. My only thing is health, because I believe that it will stretch to seven if they're not healthy, or you know, somebody's out one of the games. And if it gets seven, I don't trust Harden at all in a meaningful game in the playoffs. I just don't. And I would have to go with the Nuggets. I'm going to stick with the Clippers just because I'm believing in them once more. But we've seen time and time again, it's like Harden had the worst game of his life in the most meaningful moments of the playoffs. I'm like, okay. So
my only question to that is, who do you think is guarding Harden? Who do you put on Harden?
I mean, it's going to have to be, honestly, I don't know what Murray's going to look like coming off an injury, but like it's going to have to be by committee. Could throw Christian Braun at him. I don't know. It's a good question.
And I'll add too, like, it's going to be interesting to see what role Russell Westbrook plays in this series too, because I think he could be a difference maker for the Nuggets, whether that's coming off the bench, whether that's him starting. I think his minutes have gone down a little bit recently, but I think he can be a big piece to try to steal a couple games, if you want to phrase it that way. Russ can still help a team, man. Russ can still help a team.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't want Denver to forget that.
I mean, but that's the thing, though. It's like, how is he going to play? And the rotations matter, because if I almost prefer Russ to be on that second squad with Jokic out, because I trust Russ to go 110% and he'll just give you energy and buckets by himself because he's used to that OKC. But him functioning with Murray coming back and Jokic on the court, it's like, okay, now it looks kind of choppy, because once we know Russ is not a good shooter, and from an offense perspective, will we decrease in production? Like, it's all going to come down to matchups. And I just trust Ty Lue a little bit more than the new guy because it's just instability. Like we said at the Grizzly series, and like, I just don't know what it's going to look like. And we know, I bet you Jokic is going to have a triple double in four of these games. The question is, like you said, who else? Who else can give you that? And if it's Russ, I would rather him give me that on the back end when Jokic is out versus if they both get triple doubles, they can still lose because they have no bench and no other people. So,
right.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. So you said what? You said Clippers in seven? All right. Yeah. I'm going to go Clippers in six. I'm going to go Clippers in six for sure. All right. So I wanted to save this one for last because I believe in the West, this is probably the most interesting to me. Rockets Warriors is up there. But I think in terms of the media and all the attention around it, this is going to be a solid series. Luka's playing against the Timberwolves once again. We know what he did in the playoffs against the Wolves last year.
Chicken alert.
Work. So it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like because obviously this is a different team. Lakers have been, you know, good towards the end of the season. And they go up against a Wolves team, like we mentioned earlier, who has been up and down. But you got JR playing some good basketball, and obviously you got Anthony Edwards. So what are your thoughts on this series? Let's talk about thoughts first before we get dive into the predictions.
Yeah, so I think we pretty much all saw LeBron got banged up towards the end of the regular season. So that's the first thing I'm interested to see, how healthy he is. I'm sure he's going to play. So just got to see how he is, how he's moving with that groin injury. Groin injuries are really nothing to play with. You don't want to rush back from it. So we're going to see how well he's able to move. AR, man, AR's been hooping too. AR's been hooping. He's been hooping. If he can keep that up in the playoffs, watch out. Watch out. And then for Minnesota, man, Ant-Man, you know how he coming. You know how he coming. Can Julius Randle come with him? Can Jaden McDaniels come with him? Can Gobert be dominant down low? We're going to see. Because, I mean, shoot. Lakers don't have a matchup for Rudy. Now, is Rudy going to go out there and get you 20 points or 30 points? No, but he can get you 15 rebounds and steal some possessions.
Yeah.
He can get three or four blocks and change the game. So we're going to see. And I'm interested also to see Naz Reid, too, coming off that bench.
Yeah. And I think you make a good point, man, because I feel like Chris Finch's strategy is he's going to give Anthony the ball and say, go seek Luka out. We're going to set screens rules so that you go one-on-one with Luka because we know Luka struggles defensively. And like you said, on the other end, like they have nobody to stop Rudy. Like after Luka and LeBron, like we got Reeves, but I think defensively it gets real scary. Like, and we're talking about 40-year-old Bron. So hopefully, you know, Bron can, you know, channel, you know, 2008 back, right? But I don't know necessarily if LeBron's strategy is going to be coming off balls to the wall, you know, and playing heavy minutes early or trying to wait and kind of pace himself and let Luka take the lead. But the problem with Luka, though, what he has to understand is he could get away defensively because I know behind me I had Lively and Gafford. You don't have that same luxury this year. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to have to play defensively and how much of that defensive energy affects his offensive production. I don't know what his matchup would be. They'll probably get – I don't know. What do you think? Who do you think he's going to be guarding?
Who Luka's going to be guarding? Jaden McDaniels.
Easily. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a spot-up shooter. They're going to come set a screen for – Jaden's going to come up and set a screen.
And
he's going to pop. He'll try to go at him. But I will say, we've seen JJ incorporate a zone. That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. If they decide to go zone on Minnesota, wouldn't surprise me. We've seen them change their defensive game plan even late in the regular season. Double teaming AD, blitzing Ant to get the ball out of his hands. I can see them doing that. Okay, you want to go at Luka? We just gonna double team you. All right, bro, pass the ball. Yeah. Give it up.
Put it in. Yeah. I agree.
So Jaden McDaniels, you got to beat us. Rudy, you got to beat us.
Amy, you got Nas Reed too. So, but my thing is, I think, you know, when we talked about the face of the league conversation, there was this whole thing where people asked Anthony Edwards, like, and Anthony said, nah, that's like for Wimby or something like that. Like, I'm not going to be the face of the league. But I believe secretly he's like, yeah, I'm better than everybody. Like, I do want, he wants this moment because he wants mm-hmm. to dethrone Luka and LeBron. And the same way we saw him have that kind of like hubris with last year with Phoenix, you know, dethroning KD and the Suns and all that super team. He wants to do the same thing now. So in terms of predictions, I think it's going seven. I don't know. I don't know necessarily if I trust the Timberwolves. I do believe for the sake of the media attention, Bron, Luka, I do believe the Lakers are going to win it, but I know it's going seven. I think that this one's going to be box office because Anthony Edwards is going to put on the show.
I'm a big Ant fan. I love his game. I don't think it's going seven, though. I don't see it going seven. Either way, I don't see it going seven. I think the Lakers and J.J. Redick are going to be ready. Like I said earlier, you got to cut the head off the snake. We know that Anthony Edwards is him. We know that Anthony Edwards is pretty much that team. If we could slow him down, we can get him frustrated. We can get him not even taking shots, or the conversation all year with Anthony Edwards. Bro, he's shooting too many threes, bro. Why he taking so many threes? If you want to live behind that three-point line, cool. I think the Lakers are going to be fine. They not sweeping the Timberwolves, but I can see five or six. I can see it going five or six. Yeah. I don't think it goes seven, though. I think they'll have a good enough game plan for Anthony Edwards, and they're going to force other people to beat them. Plain and simple. And if y'all steal a game or two with Jaden McDaniels getting 20 or Rudy getting 20 and 15, you got it.
Yeah.
But somebody else got to beat me, not Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see mainly what Bron looks like in this series because mm-hmm. I think a lot of conversations are happening internally because, you know, Bron goes out and gives you 30, like 2012 Bron. Then we know we can run it back. But the question is, like, if they go out and lose the series and Bron looks like a shell of himself, even defensively, it's like, what do you do? Like, do we keep it running back? Do we, like, go and look for the next star to pair with Luka? And because Luka doesn't play defense, that star has to be able to play defense because you can't have two people out there not playing defense. So I think for the sake of the future of the league and what this looks like next year, I think that this series is going to probably be the most impactful. Because I think their move is going to be a domino effect for other moves. But yeah, man, I think the West is going to be interesting this year because even what we were just talking about with the Lakers, Timberwolves, and Nuggets, Clippers, and even the Rockets, Warriors, man, those are three games that, like you said, it could go five, but it also could go seven, all three of those games, you know, just because different storylines, man, and, you know, styles make fights. So,
and something that we've touched on pretty much all episode. Health.
Yeah.
Players got to be healthy. Hopefully everybody can stay healthy so we can see the best hoops. But when you look at it, Jimmy Butler, LeBron, if Ant were to go down, anything, man. We need healthy players. Jamal Murray. We need to see the best versus the best, man. Hopefully everybody can stay healthy, man, and we get the best hoops, man.
Yeah. For sure, man. Hey, so we're going to be doing content round by round. So we've gotten all the predictions for our first round. So y'all definitely like, share, and subscribe, and comment your thoughts about who you think is going to win it all, who you think is going to win each series. And we'll be doing individual videos based on how the playoffs looks. Obviously, if something happens that's, you know, crazy, we'll be back on the pod. But we got tons of games starting tonight. So definitely tap in. And if you haven't watched any of our later videos, man, tap into that content as well. Because we're not just talking about the NBA. We're talking about the WNBA. We're talking about the NFL. We're talking about college football, college basketball, all that, man. If there's a sport that we're missing, we'll get to it. So we appreciate the love. Thank you for the people who have been faithfully watching. So if you know anybody who is interested in sports, send them this podcast right now. And as always, man, we love you. And we'll be back with more content. Peace.